A Pew survey out this week looks at just how much robots may impact our lives and jobs by 2025. In its 2014 Future of the Internet study, Pew canvassed about 2,000 technology and policy experts about the economic impact of advances in robotics and artificial intelligence.
Who has not wondered, can a robot do my job? Derek Thompson of The Atlantic has been looking at the survey. He joins us from the NPR studios in New York. So, Derek, what were the conclusions?
The conclusions, the headline finding was that experts are sort of split in half on whether technology, robots, AI, software, whatever you want to call it, whether it will replace a huge swath of human work over the next 25 years, or whether technology will do what it's done for the last many hundreds of years, in fact, maybe for the last few millennia, which is to help create more different kind of work. And historically, technology has done both. It's destroyed work and it's created it. You don't see a lot of elevator men these days. Netflix wasn't very good for employees of Blockbuster movie rental. But you wouldn't say that either of these things led to mass employment. The concern among some technologists, though, is what happens when robots, technology, becomes so good at doing so many different kinds of jobs that we just can't find anything for us to do.
Well, so you're saying a little less than half the experts saw, well, that people will not advance beyond their robotic vacuum cleaner that skirts across the floor. But what are some examples of where they did see robots and automation coming in?
One of the most exciting is probably self-driving cars. We've talked a lot about it. Google has a massive experiment undergoing to create vehicles that can drive themselves. And there are just all sorts of jobs that would be replaced if driving weren't done by a person, but rather done by a robot. But you're also looking at the potential end of farming, the end of manufacturing, the end of chores, if that robotic vacuum cleaner can also act as a robotic maid and take care of everything in your house. In healthcare, one of the hardest things to do for a doctor is to understand what's wrong with our bodies. The problem is that doctors can't look at our bodies every day, morning and afternoon. But if our smartphones, which are on our bodies every morning and afternoon and night, can monitor what's going on with us, then you can imagine all sorts of exciting possibilities for healthcare in terms of finding problems with us long before they become too serious.
So it's not just blue-collar jobs, is what you're saying, that would be replaced. And it's interesting that you bring up driving. And I think already of some of those trains that you take at the airport don't have drivers in them, don't have conductors on them, whereas the Amtrak trains that you take do. So they've already replaced some of that. But what about white-collar jobs?
The best way to think about what robots are really good at, as opposed to what we're good at, is that they're good at routines. They're good at doing the same thing over and over and over again. And historically, you've seen this work out on the farm with tractor. It's worked out in the factories, which is why manufacturing employment has fallen so much. But then you think about, you know, there are lots of white-collar jobs that are extremely routine-based. You think, for example, about being a lawyer. There was a quote in this Pew study where a lawyer said, quote, "The field with in which I work employs many thousands of people to review documents. These are already being replaced by predictive coding algorithms." So you would think that someone with a JD has inoculated themselves from the possibility of being replaced by a robot, by a piece of software. But in fact, it turns out that a lot of their job is replaceable because it is routine-based, because it is scanning documents to find the same thing over and over and over again. This turns out to be the kind of thing that people aren't best at. Computers are much better than us at doing the same thing over and over. And as a result, these are the jobs, the occupations that are most endangered.
Robo-signing comes to mind, that's been happening, yeah.
And Derek, there's another thing that's brought up in this, and that is from Stowe Boyd from the technology firm GigaOhm Research, who says, and anybody who's seen the movie Her already knows that this is coming, that robotic sex partners will become commonplace, that people may make fun of them, but they're probably going to be around.
Every few years, it seems like somebody makes a loud prediction about robotic sex partners becoming commonplace. And they haven't been right yet, but that doesn't mean that they won't be right in the future. And certainly, I've read stories coming out of Japan. I have not reported them out to make sure that they were true, that suggests that this sort of thing is taking off in at least one country here on planet Earth.
Well,
but I don't see exactly a widespread movement in that direction quite yet. The excellence of the movie Her not notwithstanding.
Well, and how does that, I mean, I just, again, it's a tender subject. We are a family radio station, but is that much different from toys that have been available in the past? I mean, in other words, is it really going to cut into jobs?
I don't think that this particular prediction about sex robots was had too much to do with jobs being replaced. The oldest profession might be at risk, but newer ones might not be. I think that in this particular case, you know, you cross what some people call the uncanny valley when it comes to making robots that look too much like people. It turns out, actually, to move this back into other industries, that we don't really like dealing with robots face to face. We much prefer to deal with people, and in fact, when you look at the industries that are least affected by technology, they're the industries that have what you might call the human touch. Psychologists and the food service industries, you know, waiters and waitresses. We don't want a robot to wait on us. We like feeling the presence of people. It makes us feel more intimate. And so I do think that a lot of these jobs you'll see are going to be some of the slowest to be eaten away by technology.
Well, Derek, if you look at the big picture and you think about the big picture 10 years down the road, are a lot of jobs just going to be lost and there's nothing we can do about it? Or is there something that we humans can do to compete against smarter robots?
The fight against technology always begins with education. The irony, however, is that this is both the most educated generation in American history, millennials, and possibly the most endangered generation of workers in American history. So as important as education is, it does seem like technology is moving faster than education. So the question from a government standpoint is, well, what do we do then? And one discussion is that if technology is going to wipe out millions of jobs, while at the same time it won't wipe out U.S. growth, that means that the money is going somewhere and it's probably going to the top 1%, the top 5%. And if you're going to have a permanent underclass of people whose lives have been disrupted and whose jobs have been replaced by technology, I truly think that it argues for rethinking the way that we create a social safety net, because it's going to turn out that a lot more people are going to need what we now think of as Social Security, a guaranteed monthly annuity, if you see the natural unemployment rate not at 5% or 6% as it is now, but 10%, 15%, 20%, you're going to need a public policy program that protects these people and makes sure that they can afford food and water and clothes, even if those food, water, and clothes are being provided by robots.
But just briefly, in the few seconds we have, what about the half of these experts who didn't believe robots were going to take over our lives?
I think they're thinking like historians. Historically, technology has not killed the vast majority of jobs. The tractor killed a lot of farm jobs in the early 20th century, but it freed up those farmers to work in factories. Then machines killed the jobs in the factories, and now those guys work and women work in healthcare and software development and all sorts of industries that wouldn't exist if we weren't emancipated from the farms and factories. So historically, they're in complete agreement with what's happened. I just think that there's enough people that are concerned that technology and automation has become so good that it's going to be different. Something is going to be different in the next 25 years that didn't happen in the last 25.
Derek Thompson of The Atlantic. Thanks so much as always, Derek.
Thank you.